Luke 18, we're talking about children this morning, and it's a very important subject. Don't think they're unimportant. That's the mistake that the disciples made. Luke 18, 15, and they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And Brian, would you lead us in prayer? Now, Luke is very logical, and when he brings something up, and not always chronological, this may be. The last section that we looked at was the Pharisee and the publican, the tax collector. And you might recall the contrast between them. And the Pharisee is very self-righteous. I thank thee, O God, I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, I. And then we had the publican, tax collector, he stands afar off, wouldn't so much as lift up his eye unto heaven. God, he smote upon his breast, God be merciful to me, a sinner. This man went home to his house justified, not the other. So we're looking at the continuity here. The thought is the entering the kingdom of God and how you enter the kingdom of God. Now today we're going to see how you have to be like a little child. Next time we're going to see something about the rich young ruler and some lessons about entering into the kingdom of God. So that's the common thread running through here. Now, as Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, we know that he, of course, is setting his face as a flint as he goes. Luke 9:51. And he continued to journey along towards Jerusalem. We see that in chapter 13, 22. I'm drawing the setting for you. He went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. We've been seeing that teaching, much of it. And then in 17:11, again, it picks it up. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So this is a solemn trip going to Jerusalem. Yet Jesus always had time to minister. You know, we can think, I'm busy, right? We're busy this time of year. And we can neglect. We can neglect some very important people, the little people. And the people who are the future, by the way. And we're going to see what the Lord thinks about it. Now, they brought unto him, apparently parents here, they were bringing, is the tense of the word in Luke 18:15. They were bringing unto him also infants. This means babes. This is used of Jesus Christ, of the babe. While the babe leaped in my womb, Elizabeth said when Mary greeted her. And then you had the babe, speaking of Christ. So we're bridging the gap here between our celebration of Christ's birth and the new year. And this is infants. They brought their infants, that he should touch them. The thought is in Matthew 19:13 that he should put his hands on them and pray. In other words, that he would bless them. Now, let me stop on that first point. They brought unto him also infants, their babies. Why? They wanted God's blessing on their children. We got a couple on the way. Here's one and here's another. And or some of you young couples, you have younger children, and it's a blessing. Well, what is God? What does the Lord think about this? We're going to see. But as far as our part, we want to bring them to Jesus, right? We want the Lord's blessing on our children, on our grandchildren. We'd die for them, wouldn't we? I mean, this is it. We want to see them blessed. And so that's what they were doing. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:15. You know, it's a blessing that from a child, a person hears the word of God and the way of salvation, and they're introduced to Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What are the scriptures about? How do you bring children to Jesus today? You bring them through the scriptures, because they are they which testify of him. And so, you know, the goal here is to bring the heart of the child to the heart of the Savior. In this case, we're looking at the infants, but from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Now let's go back to Wise to Salvation, chapter 1, verse 5 of 2 Timothy. Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And that gives me some encouragement. I'm allowed to teach my grandchildren a little bit, you know. And I can have an influence upon those young ones there. And Timothy's grandmother did, and his mother. He had a Greek father, but they gave him the truth. Now, Paul led him to the Lord. He talks about, "You're my son in the faith." But the great advantage was, from a child, he heard the word of God. That's the time to reach him, right? From a little tiny child. And so we want to bring them. Parents should desire that their children would be blessed by Christ and do all that they can to have them exposed to the Word of God, to see the Lord's blessing on them. Now, in this particular case, with the infants, they wanted him to touch them. In other words, they wanted his hand on them to bless them and pray. And this is something common in the Old Testament. Let's turn, if you would, to Genesis 48:14. It's a symbolic action which has to do with conferring blessing upon them. Genesis chapter 48, verse 14. Well, verse 12, "And Joseph brought them out from between his knees." That's what they would do, you know. They would put them on the knees of the patriarch, the grandfather. "And he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn." So Joseph's intent was, Manasseh's going to get the birthright, but God is leading Jacob here, Israel. He goes like this. But the point is, his hands were there on their heads, conferring this blessing. So that's what they're looking for from Jesus. Now, let's go back in Luke. Every good gift comes down from God. If there's going to be any blessing, a man can receive nothing except to be given from above. He's the one to look to. Now, in the following statement, notice, it's a sad one. "But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him." And it's that they were bringing the children to him. The disciples were rebuking them, is the tense here. They kept on rebuking them. Now, why? Well, because probably, okay, Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem, thinking that Jesus is too busy, or maybe he's too tired to be bothered with the children. And it's a grievous mistake, because in Mark 10:13 it says that Jesus was much displeased, and the Greek means he was moved with indignation. This is one of the only times you see Jesus angry. He was angry at this one because they were keeping the children from coming unto him. So he's no doubt displeased today when children are kept from coming to him. They're kept from the word of God. And there's a lot of ways in which that can happen. So It's a mistake, as though the children are unimportant. It's a misunderstanding of Christ's love to the children, His compassion, His desire to bless them. Now, if you know children, children are good readers of character. And if they're comfortable, you know, they'll come up close to you. Well, you know that Jesus was tender and kind and would have been a wonderful person to come up to. And so, and no doubt, He was very receptive here, that they would come up to Him and that He would bless them. So when you look at Christ, you know, He's the perfect man. That's the theme of the Gospel of Luke. He's the perfect man in this case, too, in relation to children and His demeanor toward them. And so there's a rebuke of the disciples. Now, notice in verse 16, Luke 18:16. And Jesus called them unto Him. Now that them is neuter, meaning the babes, the young children. And said, suffer little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Now I've always felt that this particular statement is one of the strong statements in the Scriptures to show the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have other similar statements like Matthew 11:28, where Jesus said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Learn of Me. I'm meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. In other words, it's an appeal, right? It's an expression of compassion. Come to Me. How? Faith. By faith we come to Him. That's actually present tense imperative. That's not just for salvation. You keep on coming, don't you, as a Christian? Don't you come to the Lord when you have a need? Isn't it a relief? You can come to Him. Well, that's the thought here. Keep on bringing them to Me. Be coming to Me is the tense of the word. And we came to Him for salvation. Okay? We want to keep coming to Him with all of our needs. But here He says, suffer little children to be coming to Me. Now, permit them is the thought. Permit the little children to come unto Me. And again, that would be wherever the Word of God is. I think it's a wonderful thing. Children, parents have their children in Sunday school. Parents are teaching their children. Parents are praying for their children. Parents are living before the children. It's a all-encompassing thing, isn't it? It's this trying to bring the children to the Lord is vital, because that's when they're pliable. We have a tree out front, and when it was young, we tied it back, you know, because it wanted to lean. We thought, oh, that's good enough. Well, we never did get it back, and it still leans. There's no moving it now. You get my point. When a child is young and they're pliable, that's the time they can hear the Word of God. Did you know that they intuitively know that God is? Let's go with me, if you will, in Romans chapter 1, verse 19. You don't have to convince a child about God, about that God is. They know God is, and this is why. In Romans chapter 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, and that all goes down from there. So there's an intuitive knowledge in a young child. Now, I'm not saying that man isn't born without a sin nature. Psalm 51:6, in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, I was born as a sinner. If you have children, you know you have to teach them to do right, don't you? Somehow there's an inclination to do wrong because of that sin nature. And it comes out very early. It's surprising how early. Pardon me. But it's still so that the child has a knowledge of God that's untainted at that time. And, Mommy, where did God come from? Well, honey, that's what's unique about God. He has no beginning. He has no ending. He's eternal. And you can begin your little discourse, right, with him at an early age. And then, of course, you got to get to the gospel. And he gave his son. He sent Jesus. He's God manifest in the flesh, that we could have eternal life. But we want to give them that at the early age. Suffer them to come unto him. I got a sneeze that's coming on. It won't come on. Now, I want to draw a little bit from the marriage counseling sessions that we use here. And there's one, it's the longest one, session 5, on raising children. I'm going to go into this a little bit. I want to broaden this. In fact, I have a right to broaden this, because when Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me, that's the Greek word hos paideion, where the infants is a Greek word tabrephe. So it's a different word. And Jesus himself is broadening it a little bit when he says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Now, how do you do that? How do you suffer them to come unto him? And again, the goal is to bring the heart of the child to the heart of the Savior. That's the first goal, right? Their salvation. I mean real salvation. Now, I'm not just talking about the infants and wanting them to be blessed. We do. We pray for them. You pray for them before they're born, don't you? And we pray for an early salvation. You pray for God to bless them with their health, God to bless their lives, and he's the source of it. But this coming unto Christ is a definite need. We don't believe that children are baptized into the church and they're part of the covenant. If you're familiar with that kind of doctrine, they're automatically in. No, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. Now we see you must become like a little child to enter into the kingdom of God. But what we see is to bring them to the Lord. Now here's first and foremost, live before them. Not to do this is to hinder that child from coming to Christ. Now they're going to be watching you, and they're going to be picking up everything you do and everything you say. You know that, right? whether it's good or bad. To pray for them, and who better to pray than parents who love them, and to lift them up to God. You're waiting upon God too for his work, because salvation is a work of God. To be prepared to give them the truth. Now that takes some study. If you go to Deuteronomy, let's go to Deuteronomy. In chapter 6, there's an order here. The children of the future, the children are the ones to invest in, the children are the ones to take time with and to raise up for the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, key verse, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now the children will know if they're in their heart or not. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I won't go on. In other words, memorization, familiarity. Keep giving them the word, right? Your faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You're introducing the Lord Jesus Christ to them through the word of God, and be prepared to do it. That at the heart of it is our own relationship with the Lord. That's at the heart of everything. It always comes down to that. Our having come to the Lord, and our loving the Lord with all of our heart, our having his word in our hearts, then we can effectively communicate it. So we got to be prepared for those questions. And take the time. We live in this busy age. We're making a living, right? Maybe more than making a living sometimes. And we want to take the time. And we may be tired, but they need the time. So, and to use the Bible, of course, they don't need any human philosophy any more than the adults do. They don't need human reasoning. They need the Word of God. The education for the Jewish child was the Pentateuch. And sometimes they would memorize the Pentateuch. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. They would stand half the day and read it. And so once a year. So genuine salvation, though, that's what we're after. Now, so it is the living before them. It is giving them the word. It is praying for them. But there's something else. There's something the disciples were missing here. And that is the love of Jesus Christ for these children. Children can tell if you love them. Your dog can tell if you love it, right? And so if you have love for your children, it opens up the way. Pardon me. My sneeze went the other way. And so now, I'm not going to take the time on this, but you know these passages. Let all your things be done in love. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and gave himself for us. You know, when you have children, your life is not your own. The home ought to be characterized by love above every other virtue. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, Peter says. And that's more than material things. We do need to provide. But this is care all the way around, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. But you know what your child wants? They want you, right? They want you. They want your time, your love. And so we want to give of ourselves our time and attention. And then train them up. And I'm not going to go that far with this, but that's all part of it, you know. And raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And to be worshipers of God. Please go with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78:1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. By the way, you know whose responsibility that is, don't you? It's the parents' responsibility. It's not the school. It's not even the church. It's the parents. The father shall make known to the children thy truth. Now, these others can help, and they should help. But the buck stops here in giving them the word of God. Now, you notice how positive that is, though. The praises of the Lord, his wonderful works that he hath done. He's a great God. If we know him, it's a heart-to-heart thing, isn't it? Where we're communicating about our great Savior. How good he is. He's one you want to trust. He loves you. He died for you. And then after that point of salvation, it's the relationship with the Lord that ought to be the focus. That's the best thing we can do for a child. You know, Jesus, when he was about to leave his disciples, 7 times he said in that high priestly prayer in John 17, those whom thou hast given me, and they were like his children, you know, those whom thou hast given me, you might be one who God has entrusted to you. And that's a very weighty thing. So, suffer little children to come unto me. We want to do all that we can. And my time is limited here, but there are many ways to do that. Narration of the saving acts of God for his people. But primarily, bringing them to Christ, establishing their relationship with him. And there's a lot of good books that I'd recommend. There's Barnhouse Teaching the Word of Truth. That's a good doctrinal book. It's got little. He was a master for illustrations, where you can really teach your children much Bible in those ways. Well, let me go on now. He says, suffer them to come unto me, permit them to come unto me, and forbid them not. Stop hindering them, Linsky says. Stop refusing to bring them. It's even more serious. And now how can that be done? Now there's a thousand ways that can be done. In hindering them. He doesn't just say forbidding them, but hindering them. It can be done by words that are contrary, you know, to the truth. It can be done by actions. I can't hear what you're saying because your actions are speaking so loud. It can be done by inconsistencies. The kids will pick up on it. It can be done by unlove. On and on. There's a lot of ways, though, we can hinder them. We want to keep the way open, right? We want their hearts to come to the Savior. And that's a vital thing. You know, in Christian homes, there's a danger. I'm speaking freely here, openly a little bit. There's a danger in being so familiar with the truth that they have it in the head, but they might always not have it in the heart. You want to make sure it's more than just the head, right? That it's in the heart. If it's in the heart, it'll be there in the life. It'll be there devotionally in the word and in prayer and in their walk. And so, and the whole thing doesn't stop when they're little kids, does it? It goes on into the later years where there needs to be a close watch that that is the case. Because you can learn the gospel and have a right answer. You can do that and become a member of a church, a member of Salem Bible Church. That doesn't necessarily mean you're saved, God forbid. But you get my point. You want to be not just little professors of the faith, but possessors who have eternal life, who truly have been born of God, who, when they get on their own, they're going to be able to stand because they've got their own relationship with the Lord, and we've brought them to Him and helped establish them in their relationship with Him. Well, I broadened it up awful much here. Let me go back in our context. And Jesus called them. He's still calling, you know. And suffer little children to come unto me. He's still inviting them and wants to bless them. Forbid them not. Stop hindering them. Now, for of such is the kingdom of God. For of such is the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Now, again, that applies to the little children. It most definitely applies to infants, to young children with an early death, that they are in heaven. You recall David said, I will go to him. He shall not come to me. That's a proof text. This is a proof text here. In reality, I believe there are multitudes of infants in heaven. Multitudes. And heaven, there will be myriads is the word that's used. And my wife had some miscarriages. So there'll be some children that we'll see, and maybe you've had that experience, of such is the kingdom of God. They are God's children. Before that time of accountability, they are definitely God's children. Now, you look at them a little differently when you think that, you know. This is God's child. This isn't just my child. This is God's child, precious commodity. Now, I'm not taking away from the fact that we want to teach them from the time they know anything about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when they do reach that point of accountability, and it can be very young. I mean, it can be very young. I know our daughter April she just turned 3, and she trusted Christ, and she's 34. It was the real thing. It stuck, but it was the Holy Spirit. You could tell it convicted her. It was that little lesson in John 10 about the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They come unto me. I draw pictures are good, you know, for children. Little lone sheep up on the hill. Here's the flock down here with Jesus. Now, before you come to Jesus, you're like this little lone sheep over here. You need to come to Him, and then you're in the fold. And God used it. But at that time, of course, they're born again. And that's a wonderful thing. So the earlier, the better. But the main thing is that genuine profession, genuine salvation. Now, Jesus makes an application here, and it's very important in verse 17. He says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now this is the overall theme of the context that we're dealing with, the kingdom of God and how to enter the kingdom of God. We've already seen you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. We know it's by faith that you enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, you have salvation. It certainly isn't by self-righteousness that you enter in. Remember the tax collector, God be merciful to me, a sinner. This man was justified. He would enter in. But here's another characteristic. Here's another qualification. You have to become like a little child. Now, does that mean a little child is innocent? There was a little boy here years ago, and he was a nursery bully. And if you've ever seen such a thing as that, children aren't innocent, you know, and they have a sin nature. But what is the point? They're relatively innocent, though. And well, the point is this: a child has a simplicity about them and a receptiveness to them that's necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. Adults have all kinds of walls and prejudices and misconceptions and false teaching and pride and all, there are many things, you know, that can hinder. And so I think the first and foremost thought is there's a childlike faith. You remember Samuel in the Old Testament? Samuel, it says, did not yet know the Lord. He was just a boy. The Lord called him, Samuel, Samuel. And then finally Eli instructed him, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And he entered into that relationship with the Lord. But there was a simplicity. There's a beautiful simplicity in a child, isn't there? And that makes me think of David. Rich led the Lord to camp. God was working there, and David wanted, he wanted to be saved. He wanted to talk. He's kind of hanging around, if I got the story right. Of course, he's not a real little child, but still, in simplicity, he wanted to be saved, and he genuinely was. So, childlike faith, receptiveness. Now, let's go to Matthew 18. There's another issue here. And it fits our context, especially in contrast to the Pharisee and the pride. I thank thee, I'm not as other men are, and I do this and I do that. Matthew 18:1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Something wrong with that question. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one little such little child in my name receiveth me. So, would to God we could be more like little children. I mean as adults. I mean as saved people, right? But we are God's little children. That's the way it is. I mean, we are, in reality, we are quite simple in comparison to God. We are quite helpless and we are quite defenseless. But it's good to know when you're in God's family, you've got a Heavenly Father who guides and defends and He's watching over us. It's amazing the love of God. But to get back to this prerequisite here, to enter the kingdom of God, it does speak of dependence, receptiveness, simplicity, humility. This is where we're not coming in with a lot of baggage, but we admit I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I don't know everybody. I think I know everybody, about everybody here. But if you're not to that place yet where you've entered in and you know that you've entered in, it is not complicated. I mean, a three-year-old can understand this. And not that we'd understand it all right, but we can understand enough to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us, who died for our sins, who rose again. You tell that to a little child, they'll believe you. They'll take you at your word. Now, I realize that we need to pray, we need to live before them, we don't want to hinder them, but that we can present that simple message that they can simply receive by faith. And everybody has to receive that message in that same way. In contrast to pride, high-mindedness, self-righteousness, all that has to be laid aside where a person comes empty-handed. Otherwise, you shall in no wise enter therein. Out calling. It's really an education, even doctrinally, to see how some people don't see grace and generally they're blinded. But if they're saved, it's a wonderful demeanor they generally have, for one thing. And they talk about the Lord and what He's done for them, and they have peace and assurance in their relationship with the Lord. But if they don't, almost always they're going to tell you how good they are and what they've done, and it's a blindness that's there. How many little children have you heard telling you about all the good things they've done, how righteous they are, how God should accept them? It doesn't go that way. And so you get the point here. This is how we have to come. I want to read a little poem to you. Make me, O Lord, a child again, so tender, frail, and small, in self possessing nothing, and in thee possessing all. O Savior, make me small once more, that downward I may grow, and in his heart, in this heart of mine, restore the faith of long ago. With thee may I be crucified, no longer I that lives. O Savior, crush my sinful pride by grace which pardon gives. Make me, O Lord, a child again, obedient to thy call, in self possessing nothing, and in thee possessing all. Are you like a little child today? That's a good place to be. If we could be there, it's the grace of God if we are there. But in conclusion this morning, bring the children to Jesus. That's the best thing we can do. You can give them $1,000 every birthday, whatever. That's not as good as bringing the child to Jesus. That's the greatest thing. And he loves them. And so he desires to bless them. And so in seeking that, we want to pray for them, teach them, live before them. Don't hinder them. There's the challenge. And then they're God's children, of such is the kingdom of God. And we actually need to be like them to enter in. Father, we thank thee for thy word today. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves the little children. And we thank thee for him and the compassion he has, as we're all really little children, and how we need thee every hour. We thank thee for thy compassion. We thank thee for the open arms of Christ to come unto him, not just salvation, but in all our needs, that we can come to him. And we thank you for such a great Savior. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.